Good morning, Green Antler listeners. I'm so thrilled today. I'm in Fanny Bay. I'm looking at the Fanny Bay Inn, which is in Fanny Bay, Incorporated area, and has been there since 1938. I'm making this message today because it's Advocacy Days, and I want to read off my priorities so I can listen to them on the drive from here to Victoria for 2 hours. Really get practiced in the priorities that have been set by President's Committee and the rest of the executive. So I'm going to go. Okay, so there is one update, local government finance background. We would like to discuss local government finance and our work with the province to address mounting cost pressures for local governments while advancing shared local government priorities. Local governments are on the front line for most critical issues facing British Columbians. Amid skyrocketing shelter costs, local governments are innovating and investing more than ever to accelerate housing supply. As the impacts of climate change become more evident, local governments are expanding emissions reductions and responding to increased natural disasters. And as the overdose crisis grows, local government protective services are providing a critical first response. At the same time, local governments are required to fund and deliver an expanding array of services and to meet regulatory obligations imposed at the provincial and federal levels in such areas as environmental protections and policing costs. For example, protective services costs now approach 30% of most urban municipal budgets as local governments work to create safe and secure communities, which includes tackling the opioid and mental health crisis. Local governments continue to communicate the fiscal challenges of managing all of these demands with access to only 8-10% of overall taxation revenue and with a revenue tool that is fundamentally inelastic. Post-COVID economy with changing economic sectors, new debt pressures at all levels, and growing social demands will further constrain the use of residential property taxes to meet the needs of communities, addressing the challenge. At last year's convention, the UBCM membership endorsed a report, Ensuring Local Government Financial Resiliency. It examines revenue tools, regulatory and legislative frameworks, and best practices that will support local and provincial action in the area of housing and climate action and community safety. The Premier then committed to creating a memorandum of understanding on reviewing local government finance system. UBCM and the province assigned an MOU in January that created a working relationship in addressing the 20 recommendations in the report. As part of the MOU, a local government financial review working group was struck to develop a work plan for short, medium, and long-term considerations of the recommendations designed to strengthen the local government finance system. Local governments recognize the value of working with the province in tackling BC's most pressing issues, and the committee will identify new fiscal tools that will best support that continued collaboration. While the committee's work will take place over 3 years, we want to highlight some of the key recommendations in housing, climate action, and community safety now to lay a foundation for future discussions. So, priority number one, housing, strengthening the development finance system, defining the challenge. We would like to discuss the importance of continued collaboration on housing and the need to review of the funding mechanisms that finance growth-related infrastructure. Local governments have been on the front lines of the housing crisis, working hard to plan, coordinate, and deliver strategies that will improve affordability at all levels. Recognizing that the need for more housing, local governments and the UBCM have supported the Provincial Development Approvals Process Review, DAPR, that is designed to streamline and improve the approval of housing supply. DAPR is a multi-year provincial project that supports the implementation of best practices and the testing of innovative approaches to improve all stages of the development approvals process while still meeting local government planning and policy objectives. However, local governments are increasingly expected to move beyond proactive community planning and streamlined approaches to financially support both markets and non-market housing. They are expected to support attainable housing through land contributions, servicing costs, development community charge, DCC, exemptions, waivers or reductions, and property tax exemptions. For example, Vancouver has allocated an average of $120 million per year over the last 10 years to secure community amenity contributions and development cost levies, DCL, and provide an average of $7 million per year in DCL waivers to support the development of non-market and rental housing. While positive contributions to housing supply, these approaches have significant financial implications for local governments as they strain an already narrow tax base and limited revenue streams, addressing the challenge. At the same time, the current development finance framework is restrictive and outdated and does not fully capture the true growth-related infrastructure costs of local governments when they support more housing. For example, development cost charges, which are designed to pay for the off-site infrastructure, need to accommodate growth. Off-site infrastructures needed to accommodate growth are legislatively restrictive to only water, sewage, roads, parks, and drainage. Local governments want to expand the definition of DCCs to include growth-related infrastructure necessary to support emergency services, transit, solid waste, recreation, and affordable housing for communities. Local governments want their planning and financial tools to ensure that growth fully pays for growth. As a principle, would alleviate the financial pressures they face while supporting the creation of livable communities. R asks, to achieve this, the UBCM wants the province to undertake a comprehensive review of the funding mechanisms for financing growth-related infrastructure, including development cost charges and community amenity contributions. Okay, oh, this really flips around. Priority number 2 is next. Well, that's one I'm going to be delivering. Climate action, reducing emissions and increasing resilience, defining the challenge. We would like to discuss the importance of climate action within communities and the need for ongoing financial support for reducing emissions and creating weather-resilient communities. Local government realized that strong climate leadership is crucial to providing the health and well-being of their communities, promoting the health and well-being of their communities, creating new economic opportunities, and mitigating the risk of extreme weather events. They have demonstrated leadership through institutionalizing climate actions into their core operations and services through land use planning, developing green infrastructure, and promoting renewable energy use. Local governments are increasingly expected to take climate action to the next level in their communities and to support the province in doing the same. The Provincial Climate Action Strategy Roadmap to 2030 recognizes that local governments are key partners to play a vital role in meeting ambitious climate targets because they have influence over 50% of BC's emissions. Supporting emissions reduction requires significant investment by local governments in land use planning, transportation, solid waste, and buildings. For instance, the electrification of TransLink's fleet in Vancouver will be $473 million more than baseline costs. Well, the Regional District of Nanaimo required a $5 million upgrade to its transfer station to support organic waste diversions. There are hundreds of similar stories that can be told of what is needed to integrate climate action into local government services. Climate action is an issue that undoubtedly impacts local government finance, doubly impacts local government finance, as they have to respond to increased scope and frequency of devastating fires, floods, and droughts linked to climate change. It is estimated that an annual investment of $5.3 billion in municipal infrastructure adaptation measures is now needed to adapt to climate change in Canada. Abbotsford's new flood mitigation plan alone has an estimated $2.8 billion cost for upgrading dikes, pumping stations, and other flood protection measures following its recent floods. Addressing the challenge. That's the next one. At the same time, the current development finance framework is restrictive and outdated. Oh, am I on the wrong one? Yes. Addressing the challenge. UBCM commends the province's leadership on its climate change and adaptation strategies and the significant investment made to date in expanding emission reduction actions and adaptation supports. Local government were pleased to see UBCM Special Committee on Climate Action recommendations and past advocacy reflected in Budget 2022, particularly the new three-year $76 million Local Government Climate Action Program announced this week. However, our members are now looking for a dedicated and permanent funding stream that will support innovative local climate action and help tackle the remaining 25% of emissions not captured through Clean BC. Rather than rely on grants, local governments require funding certainty to prioritize climate action in their communities, leveraging provincial and federal project dollars, support planning and risk assessment, and build internal capacity necessary to take climate action to the next level. Our asks. UBCM wants to collaborate with the province in developing a dedicated and permanent funding stream for local climate action, such as having a percentage of the carbon tax allocated to communities. Directing a percentage of the carbon tax to local governments would provide financial means and certainty to advance the shared goal of reducing emissions, increasing weather-resilient communities. Pause and discuss before next priority. Priority number 3, community safety, supporting emergency management. Defining the challenge. Closely related to climate change is the issue of emergency management and the need for ongoing financial and capacity support for preparing for and responding to natural disasters at the community level. Local governments have faced devastating floods, droughts, and heat domes and wildfires that have only increased in scope and frequency in recent years. They are on the front lines of emergency management with the legislative requirement to prepare and implement emergency plans and maintain an emergency management organization. Delivering their emergency management obligations has become more complex and more costly with the increased intensity of events taking a significant toll on their limited human and financial resources. For instance, the RDEK spent almost $1 million in staffing costs and materials responding to the floods and fires within their boundaries in 2020, which is more than the amount spent during the previous 3 years combined. The City of Richmond's emergency program budget, has increased 65% over the last decade to deal with new demands. I would add also that in the recent power outage that Tassus had, there was an increased $10,000 that was not previously budgeted and we were not able to recoup from Emergency Management BC, and that was just a week. So, the province Provincial modernization of emergency management legislation will require local governments to take on even more roles and responsibilities in order to strengthen emergency management in BC. Our members will now be involved on a large scale with vulnerability assessment, planning, disaster risk reduction, and adaptation through mitigation infrastructure. Estimates for fully cost mitigation plans and infrastructure range in the billions through BC for flood protection and wildfire risk mitigation, with Vancouver alone facing $1 billion in flood protection work to mitigate sea level rise. Local governments are increasingly feeling the financial pressures of downloaded responsibilities in all four pillars of emergency management. 1. Preparedness. 2. Response. 3. Recovery. And 4. Mitigation. Addressing the challenge. UBCM welcomes the budget 2022 commitment of $1.5 billion over 3 years to help communities rebuild critical infrastructure after the 2021 disasters, as well as the additional $120 million next year for the Community Emergency Preparedness Fund. Our members appreciate the province's acknowledgement that strengthening disaster risk and emergency management will require additional investment as well as support and time to develop the capacity needed to implement the new modernization requirements. Currently, the new local government roles and responsibilities are neither fully identified nor costed in the modernization legislation, while the magnitude of investment required in mitigating plans and infrastructure is beyond local taxation powers. Now, more than ever, local governments require ongoing funding and capacity-building resources to address the unique needs of each community and to create climate-resilient communities that protect their residents and core infrastructure. Our ask: to effectively modernize emergency management and fully address local cost pressures, UBCM wants to collaborate with the province on developing a long-term local government funding and capacity-building framework for new and ongoing emergency management costs. So, oh my goodness, this just jumps around. That's the financing. This is the housing. This is the climate action, reducing emissions and increasing resilience, and community safety supporting emergency management. So, agenda and roles. So team member one will thank the MLA for taking this meeting, introduce the executive members in attendance, acknowledge that the UBCM typically meets with ministry every spring to discuss committee priorities. This year, as in years previous, we are continuing to reach a wider range of MLAs and are focusing on raising awareness for our work with the province to address mounting cost pressures for local governments while advancing shared local provincial priorities. Comment on the Tuesday evening reception. Okay. Acknowledge that a couple of key priorities will be outlined following by an opportunity to discuss each one. Number one, deliver housing message. Deliver message from page 3. Local government finance background and priority number 1, housing. Pause for a loud discussion of the priority. Team number 2, that's me. Climate action. Deliver message from page 7. Priority 2, climate action. Pause and allow for discussion of the priority. Team number 3, I'm also doing that in a different meeting. And that says deliver message priority number page 9, priority 3, community safety. Pause and allow for discussion on the priority. Thanks the MLA. Acknowledge that they look forward to working with the MLA on moving forward with the priorities and offer to have the UBCM provide any additional information they require. Acknowledge that they hope that the UBCM priorities will inform caucus discussions and party priorities during the year. Potential questions and answers. General. Why are you meeting with us now when there is an MOU in place and the Local Government Finance Working Group viewing UBCM's Local Government Finance Report? The MOU recognizes that the report's issues are complex and that the required analysis is a multi-year project. While the work will take time, the cost pressures facing our members are immediate and building by the year. We want to make sure the provincial government is aware and understands the importance of taking action wherever these issues and the working group recommendations are discussed at caucus, cabinet, and the legislature. We want to lay the foundation for those considerations and future discussions. 2. Housing. UBCM recently released a report on housing supply. Is UBCM saying that there is no housing crisis and that there is enough supply in that report? Our housing discussion paper says that even though local governments are approving record amounts of housing in line with population growth, it is still not enough and the housing crisis continues to deepen. This means that we need to continue to focus our efforts on expanding the right supply, including purpose-built rentals, cooperatives, big time on cooperatives, supportive housing for those that need complex care. To fully address the affordability crisis, we need to understand and address the other factors contributing to the housing crisis, such as investor demand, the impact on provincial regulations, supply chain challenges, and skilled worker shortages. Our focus today on strengthening and developing finance systems is another way that we can support increase of the supply of attainable housing while addressing the cost pressures facing each local government. Won't a review of the development system with expanded definitions of DCCs increase costs for developers and hinder the housing supply? A review of the funding mechanisms financing growth-related infrastructure could actually reduce costs to further streamline approvals. A broadening of DCCs would replace the uncertainty associated with rezoning and negotiated agreements with a clear process for developers. Shifting away from a negotiated process means reducing risk, time, and cost for applicants. Climate change. Why are you asking for a percentage of the carbon tax when the province just created a new local government action program that is 3 times the local government climate action revenue program, CAREP? The local government climate action program is only a 3-year commitment. Well, the new program provides greater funding and flexibility than the previous CARE program. Local governments require the certainty of ongoing funding to support provincial climate action strategies, help achieve GHG targets, and implement local action plans. The required investment in climate action exceeds the amount that can be raised through property tax. UBCM also notes that there is already precedence for sharing the carbon tax as a province currently directs a portion of it to industry. Budget 2020 commits $174 million to industry through the Clean BC Program for Industry, which directs a portion of the carbon taxes paid by industry into 2 program streams for incentivizing emissions reductions and reducing emissions reductions projects and funding emission reduction projects. The province projects that the carbon tax will generate $2.048 billion in 2021 and 2022, an increase to $2.3 billion for the next 3 years. Allocating 1% of the carbon tax on an annual basis to communities would generate $2 million in the current year. Community safety. What are the new roles and responsibilities for local governments under the Modernization of Emergency Management legislation that will increase cost pressures? Under the proposed Modernization Emergency Management legislation, local governments will have a larger role in vulnerability assessment, planning, disaster risk reduction, and adaptation through mitigation. They will take on additional responsibilities for local government jurisdiction, will include Crown land, and local governments will be required to engage neighboring local authorities and First Nations to develop in the development of emergency plans. Local emergency plans will also be required to reflect all our 4 phases of emergency management: preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation. The expanded scope of requirements will place additional financial pressures on local government in managing natural disasters at the community level. So, Next, there's a chart, and I'll just read the three. It's a picture. We've got the UBCM, Union of British Columbia Municipalities, the voice of BC local government, housing, strengthening development finance, undertake a comprehensive review of the funding mechanisms for financing growth-related infrastructure, including development cost charges and community amenity contributions. Climate action, reducing emissions and increasing resilience. Develop a dedicated and permanent funding stream for local government climate action, such as allocating a percentage of the carbon tax to communities. Community safety, supporting emergency management. Create a long-term local government funding and capacity building framework to address new and ongoing climate management costs. And with that, we will conclude the priorities for 2022. I'm going to thank everyone for listening. This episode isn't going to come out until the fall, but it will be listened to probably, 20 times today by me, so that I can really learn the subtleties of each priority. And I will just make this glib remark that I am recording this at my neighbor, who used to live right next to me in Tassis, but was unable to find housing in Tassis and had to move to Fanny Bay, having an increase in her rent. And so with that comment, I will say thank you to my neighbor for letting me stay at her place. And it was really nice to see her new place and to have a friend that's halfway between Tassis and Victoria. So I'll be coming to Victoria later on today, and I'll thank the Green Antler Waterfowl Podcast listeners for listening. And this episode was not created at the Green Antler, but in lovely Fanny Bay, an incorporated community on the Old Island Highway with direct view of the Fanny Bay Inn. Have a nice day.